Hallelujah. I'm so glad to meet you through this time. And I give the gratitude the senior pastor allows me to preach on the altar. My height wasn't very tall, but I was still taller than average. However, my son is 10 centimeters taller than me. So if I want to meet and talk him, I have to look up like this. South Korea's youth are undergoing a significant physical transformation while they are growing taller, heavier than previous generation. Concerns are mounting about the impact of these changes on their overall health. Weakening physique and the declining stamina. This can be applied to our faith life as well. Just as having a bigger physique does not mean that your physical strength or constitution becomes stronger. Just because a church is old or your long faith life does not mean that you are mature in your faith or spiritually fulfilled. Although Korean churches appear to be more larger, the spiritual constitution of the believers does not seem to have improved. Today's text is like Jesus with his disciples for a while and holding a servant of the Lord seminar. Caesarea Philippi is relatively quite a place located at the foot of the mountain Hermon at the northernmost tip of Israel. He has been through the hardship and the sorrow with his disciples for a long time, and he's checking to see how much their faith has grown. To this end, Jesus asks his disciple question. The first is verse 13. Who do people say that I am? He then asks the disciples, who do you say that I am? The other disciples were unable to answer, but Peter passed the first question by answering, you are the Christ, the Son of a living God. However, the second question did not pass. The second question is that Jesus said that he will be killed and resurrected on the third day. And Peter answered this in verse 22. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. When Jesus heard him, he harshly rebuked Peter. As a result, Peter's faith grew but did not mature at the time. Although the physique of a faith has grown, the stamina of a faith is lacking, and the spiritual depth is lacking. So the deep well of God is not yet understood. Through this summer retreat, the Holy Spirit worked like a fire overflowing with the grace and the blessings, and the saints of the Memim grew passionately in their faith. However, the Lord does not want us to be satisfied with, but wants us to become a saint who go beyond the growth and the reach maturity. I would like to convey my thought through this title, Mature Saints. First, in order to become a stronger believer, you must know what you should be your focus. In the intention of Jesus asking the disciples was to find out whether the core of life of the disciples was well established. Peter's response to Jesus' question, so you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, is the same as the confession that Christ is the center of his life. Peter's confession may seem obvious to us, but in the Jewish society of that time, this confession was incredibly shocking. At the time, for Jews at the national or social level, the spiritual pillars were Moses or David. The foundation on all Jewish life was the teaching of Moses, but Peter confesses that not Moses or David, but Jesus is the center of faith, and beyond the center of faith, Peter says that Jesus is the master of the world and the center of all life. At the time, saying something like this was like being stoned to death. The first crime committed by Adam and Eve can be thought of as a self-centeredness. The enemy devil tempted Adam and Eve, who had lived centered on God, to live self-centered instead of centered on God. Genesis chapter 3:5, for God knows that in this day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like the God, knowing good and evil. The temptation was that you too could become like God. Since then, this era has become an era where self is the center, not God. In other words, it has become an era that has lost its center. What happens if a speeding car loses its balance? What happens when a ship sailing powerfully through the rough waves loses its balance? That leads to an accident. So is life. When life loses the balance, it becomes greatly shaken. An accident will happen. If a family loses the focus, it will be destroyed. If a building loses its balance, it will collapse. Most complex problems of failure and the fatal mistakes occur when we lose our balance and are shaken. The way to prevent the further failure and the fatal mistake is to stay centered. The starting point of our success and the happiness lies in being centered to keep balance. Despite this, how many people are living self-centered, human-centered, material-centered, and world-centered, away from the center of Jesus Christ? When Jesus Christ does not become a center of our lives, we lose all of the blessing God has given us. When Adam and Eve lost their God-centeredness, they also lost paradise. When King Saul did not obey the word and lost his focus, he lost everything. When Judas Iscariot lost his focus on Jesus, he betrayed Jesus and committed suicide. Even today, many people are living extremely anxious, unhappy lives because they have not been able to meet Jesus, the center of life. Jesus Christ is our Lord and the center of our lives. Paul clearly knew this fact, so he confessed this. Romans chapter 14:8. For if we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. But what kind of a life should we live in order to live this confession? Whatever you do, you must think of Jesus first. Even when you wake up, Jesus should be the first thing that comes to mind. Even when you work, when you eat or drink, you must think about Jesus. No matter what you do, you must think of Jesus first. A ship sailing the ocean navigates a dangerous current, although the ship is constantly rocked by the strong wave. The reason it does not sink is because the center of the ship is firmly established underneath. Anyone who does not stand the center on God will inevitably be sunk by the wind and the waves that comes with life. However, there is one more important part of Peter's confess. It is important to confess the Lord is Christ, but also that He is the Son of the living God. It seems that the living God has disappeared in Christianity these days. But you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that Peter confessed like this. Nietzsche, who is called the great philosopher in the world, said God is dead. At the time when the German church heard this, they did not remain silent and were against Nietzsche. God is dead is that the denial of God and the insult to the church. Please apologize. When the German churches reacted like this, Nietzsche said, I have proof that God is dead. As the German churches asked him, what is proof was that he said, the basis is the German church is helpless. Look at the German churches. That is the proof that God is dead. A church like that is God's tomb. The church, German church was the fourth for being helpless and hearing the sarcasm that God is dead. But Nietzsche, who had lost Jesus and the center of his life, suffered from the mental illness and died lonely and a miserable death in a nursing home. Therefore, we may mean should not become a helpless church like a German ones at the time, but as Peter confessed, we should become a church where living God works. I'm thankful to Father God, the Living Father, who allowed the tremendous healing work to occur not only at the retreat site, but also across the time, the space, through the fiery work of the Holy Spirit. During this summer retreat, when senior pastor prayed, it has been 11 months since I was sent to Nairobi Mammon Church in Kenya. Nairobi is a city located at 1,700 meters above the sea level, so all are good. But one thing is that Korean could have a digest problem due to the low atmospheric pressure. I was fine for a while, but from August last year, I suffered from indigestion for almost a month. I thought it was a big deal, but it didn't get better at all. In the past, even if I couldn't digest it, it would recover after a day or two. But this time, I couldn't digest it for a month. So I thought, oh, my healthy stomach held up well for a while, but now that it's been about 8 months, my digestive ability seems to have declined. Realizing the problem of indigestions in Nairobi, I tried to just say like this. I remember that what the senior pastor said to me when she sent me to Nairobi. She said, you should never feel indigestible in Nairobi. She said, you should never say that. You have to overcome it. You have to win, she said. So I changed my mind again and used the handkerchief of my power that the shepherd had prayed for as a weapon to fight against my enemy, devil, who was working behind my stomach and behind my back. After about 1 week of fighting the devil and living God worked, defeated the enemy devil with the handkerchief of the power, and now my stomach is healthy again, and now I no longer have to worry about digestion. I give glory to living Father God. Nairobi Mammon Church has been a church where the power of God living and working within the shepherd's space has been manifest since the time of Bishop Chong. Even now, the power of God continues to take place in the space of a shepherd and a senior pastor. They say, I often pray, thank you, Father God, for always listening to my prayers. This is because many believers testify that when they pray, they receive the healing and the answers. Since I gave this testimony, not once or twice, but often, I began to pray like this because I now believe that Father God guarantees my prayers. Pastor Boaz and the pastor of Nairobi Mennonite Church who participated in this summer retreat had a son a few months ago and named him Caleb. My English name is Caleb. He named his son after me. There's a reason that one day, while I was on my way to church to lead worship on Sunday, I received an urgent call from the Pastor Victor, who was driving. Pastor Boaz's wife was due to have a baby but had a childbirth problems, and it was a dangerous situation. In an emergency situation, I prayed on the phone in the car before arriving at the church, and it is said that she gave birth successfully after that, so she named her son Caleb after my name. In order to become a stronger church and believers, we Manmin makes of Jesus Christ the center of our lives and follow the guidance of a God who lives the works with the gospel of holiness and the power of today with the senior pastor. Second, we must move beyond the growth to maturity. To Peter, who, unlike other disciples, Jesus declared that he would build a church on a rock. So verse 18, I also says to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the Hades will not overpower it. Jesus praised Peter for making this confession of faith. Verse 19 says, I will give you the key to the kingdom of heaven. In short, like other disciples, Peter was praised for having grown so much in faith that he could enter heaven even if he died now. But what's surprising that Peter does something immature right afterwards. Jesus said that he will be killed and resurrected on the third day. Peter answers in, Peter took hold of Jesus and rebuked him, saying, Not so, Lord. This will not never happen to you. And Jesus harshly rebukes Peter. Jesus turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are causing me to stumble. When the disciples were examining their faith, it was said that the disciples' faith had not yet grown, and that Peter's faith has grown but had not matured. In Matthew chapter 16, 12, 22, Peter took hold of Jesus and admonished him. The word admonishment here is the epitimao in the original Greek, meaning to rebuke, scold, protest. How dare Peter scolded Jesus even if it didn't suit his thought? But Peter did that. Jesus, please don't say such weak things. Please, why are you saying such unuseless things? The nuance was that. So, in verse 23, Jesus said, Get behind me, Satan. You are the one causing me to stumble. Here, the original Greek word for one who causes a fall is skandalon, which means the stumbling block obstacle. A little while ago, it was a rock, a petra, a stepping stone, but it immediately turned around and became a stumbling stone. Although the Peter had grown, he was not matured, leading to such immature behavior. The church can be seen two types of believers. There are saints like Petra and the saints like Scandalon. While there are saints who act as a stepping stone for the kingdom of God and the church, there are also saints who act like stumbling blocks. During the worship, those sitting in the front are a stepping stone believer, and those sitting behind are a stumbling stone believer. That's not the case. What we need to realize is that tendencies of stumbling stones and the stepping stones are all within us. I mean that the tendencies of other believers who act like stumbling stones also are within you. Therefore, you should always be merciful and faithful towards others, and as the saying goes, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 12, you should always think that you can do the same and be careful. Therefore, let him who think he stands take heed that he does not fall. Towards a person who seems to be a stumbling block because he or she makes many mistakes in words or actions, says with a compassionate heart, if that the person changes, he too will be able to become a much better believer than me. We need to embrace and pray for him, saying, Paul has changed it and Peter has changed it. So what a great worker he has become. You must ponder that yourself can be a stumble block and try to be a stepping stone. Are you now a stepping stone or a trembling stone of a Mammon church? If you have achieved a growth in the faith, but you are not mature in faith, there is a high possibility that you become a stumbling stone. Why do so many families have a problem? Their others get married and they have one or two children, but they are not mature. So couples would fight over trivial things. If you don't take care of your child, but you just drink and get angry every now and then, it causes problem and discord at home. So here are some things couples should keep in mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I felt like a child. I felt like a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. Once you have grown up physically and got married, you must now let go of your childish thought and childish-like personality and the childish attitudes toward life and mature-like and others. So there is a saying that life is not about the growing old, but about the maturing. So like a mature the fruit is so yummy. So like a green apples change it to red ones. It's tasty, it's sweeter and sweeter. So like our face should be matured. Luke chapter 2, 52, Jesus grew in the wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. As he grew, he matured intellectually, growing in wisdom. He matured spiritually in a way that was lovely to God. He also matured into the lovable person. Jesus did not end with a physical growth. You have matured intellectually, spiritually, and socially. A person's physical growth stops at some point, but mental maturity, personal maturity, and the spiritual maturity occur through the one's life. So Ephesians chapter 4, 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. God loves us just as we are, but He does not want to remain as is. God wants us to be mature. Mature people are wise, excellent at discernment and insight. If a problem arises, I know how to figure out the cause of the problem. Philippians chapter 4, 11 to 12, as saying goes, a mature person knows how to be content. And as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:18 says, he or she is thankful in all things. A mature person is someone who prays in the Holy Spirit. Many problems in life arise from immaturity. If you're immature, you get angry easily. You have a severe emotional up and downs, making decisions too lightly. You get hurt by people's words and easily misunderstood them. You don't have a perspective to see the whole picture, so you become restless when even small problems arise. Mature people are different. Mature people have a depth. Words have a weight. There's an eyes for seeing the whole. They like a variety of people and adapt well to change. Jesus was a deep, mature man. What Jesus said, a profound meaning we can lean in the pinnacle of a mature love in the life of Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, I hope and pray that your faith has grown as a have received the positions and the mission over time. Throwing away your childish-like immaturity and you reach the maturity. The third, constitution of a maturity must be strengthened through spiritual training. Because of Peter's faith had not matured even before Jesus was crucified, he went up to the Garden of the Gethsemane and prayed until his sweat turned into the drop of blood on the ground, but Peter was sleeping. Afterwards, and Jesus was captured, Peter denied knowing Jesus three times. These are all side effects of a life of faith that appeared because people are not mature in the faith. After Jesus was resurrected, he met Peter while he was fishing on the Sea of Galilee and asked him three times, "Do you love me?" He taught him what true spiritual love and gave him spiritual training. When David was a shepherd, he received a anointing from the prophet Samuel, which was a promise that he would become a king in the future. He was being around 7 years old at the time. However, he did not immediately become king. David officially became a king at the age of 30, and God made him go through the suffering and the persecutions under King Saul for almost 13 years until he became king. Why did God do that? If he became a king at the age of 17, he would become a mature king and would not be able to rule the country well. So God trained him for a long time to make him a mature king. Apostle Paul also met Jesus on the road of Damascus, but he did not mature immediately begin his life as apostle. According to Galatians chapter 1, 17 to 18, he spent 3 years in Arabia, maturing through the prayer and the world. Jacob also received the birthright from the older brothers Esau through the lentil stew, but he did not immediately receive the blessing of the firstborn. By having him spend 20 years of the refinement and the hardship in the house of his uncle Laban, he was trained to become ancestors of the 12 tribes. Timothy's chapter 4:8. The most important training is the practicing the word of God. the end of a time. So Word of God should be centered in your life. And it should be mature in your physical, intellectual, intellectual part and your faith life. The CEO of the Coca-Cola company, he said, my blood, the Coke is in my blood and the flow in all of the, my body. So likewise, we as a Christians, Jesus' blood should be flows in our body. I opened the Nairobi Manmin Academy, and there are so many graduates from the academy. And then I just spread this gospel through this education of MIS. And I also run the Korean classes to educate the people in Nairobi. I just run these all classes and online. But before the online system, I had to visit the local area to teach them on MIS lectured. So it was really hard for me to go to there because the distance is so far, spend so a lot of time, and it's kind of ineffective way. But through the online system, they can learn the Word of God through the MIS more often. Once a week, every week, and online, no matter how far it is. So the course is the visit directly to local area, and then the, from second time, they learn the Word of God through the MIS Lectured Academy online. So after we established the online system, and more students can gather and learn this Word of God through the MIS education system online. So usually we use the tool Google Meet rather than the Zoom. And now average 30 people gathered and watch the class online through the Google Meet. And we exchange our opinion and the feedback. Even it's work on each smartphone. So I provided the monitor, provided the monitor to each local branches and area. Opened this MIS classes. So average 30 people gathered and watch the MIS lectures. Watching on the monitors. And so pastor's wife visited our church to listen to MIS classes. So now I just think it's about 300 people joined this class online to learn the Word of God through the MIS seminar. Of course, Bishop Chung's prepared all bases about this great education system. And I added the more technical system like online, using the tool like Google Meet or Zooms. And now, people can learn the Word of God once every week. So I guess totally about 300 people who are servants of God that learn the Word of God from this church through the MIS online. So this system is really good to people, those who live so far from distance. It's a really effective way to people who gathered but far from distance from the church. But our members are so passionate. Some out of our saints visited our church from the 500 kilometers far to attend the Daniel prayer meeting. This is for all grace of Father God, and the Father just led us to open the online education system like this. And then there's a place called Mombasa. It's really rough to get there by bus. I was visited the place and preached the sermon. But the one youth, so living there, just thought negatively towards me, saying, "Oh, what a foreigner just visited our town and preaches for our people." So he had a scheme and a plan to kill me and steal my old stuff. So he hid before my arriving that place. We didn't know before, but the use of bad plan revealed to other neighborhood. So anonymous, the person just heard that the youth had a bad plan to kill me and steal everything from me. So the neighbor reported to police station. Without any information about that, we successfully finished the MIS education. And that the youth and his friends were about to attack me and attack our team. But hidden police just arrest him before they practice their plan. We didn't know what happening around us. We just came back to Nairobi after successful MIS education. But I just, you know, so got a report from a pastor that area. And saying that, so a youth group planted a bed to kill and attacked me, arrested in the prison. But their mom, their parents, a plea to release that young man's. But they didn't have any money to release their kids from the prison. So the pastor asked me and the report about this situation. So, at the time, I just knew that what happened around me. So, Father God, who knows everything, protected our team in advance. And we did successful to teach the people. And I give the glory to Father God, all of that. Let me conclude this sermon. There is one river flowing middle of the Chicago in the USA. Originally, the river's flowing is a different direction. But as the population of Chicago is increased, the river was detained and rotten. So the government just constructed the river and changed this direction of a river. So now the area is now attractive tour area. Like this, we have to changed our mind, changed the direction to right way, getting away and rid of the unclean things from our heart. You need to check your heart, where your heart to go. Like a river's direction changed in the Chicago, your direction should be changed. If you not in the immature status now. So likewise, I said, first, the Jesus Christ should be center in our life. Second, we should mature growth of faith. And the third, the training needed in the Word of God.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu. Go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.